Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. And really quickly, I'm going to do something we don't often do, which is shout out those who maybe aren't what we would call devoted fans of the show. Maybe you stumbled upon us by mistake. Maybe you're 15 seconds into this episode and you've decided this isn't quite for you and you'd like to turn us off or worse, give us a bad review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. But before you do that, there's something you should know, dear listener. We're crazy and you should never disparage a crazy podcast. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry. You can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
The great Daphnini, a.k.a. our super producer, Jason Daphnis, is actually not in the booth with us today, which I guess speaks to his ability as a great magician in that he made himself disappear. But rest assured, he will reappear on social media. You can actually find him there on Twitter, for example, at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. Keep in mind, that's kids with a Z. We've got a couple of bangers here today as we get into episode 18 of Hey Arnold. We'll start out as normal with the A part of the episode, which in this case is called Magic Show. Original air date December 9th, 1996. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Arnold picks Helga for his disappearing act, but when Helga decides to run off to trick Arnold, she knocks herself out and dreams of a world where no one misses her now that she is gone. Accurate enough summation of this episode. Let's kick it over to Harry first. Harry, what did you think of this particular magic show?
Yeah, thanks, Cody. So we'll talk about it a little bit with our next episode as well, but something that's really readily apparent, especially when you're watching all of these episodes in sequence, the way we are, is that this is clearly a very early episode, if not in show date, then production date. The sort of general rawness of the animation attests to that, as well as the fact that these plots and stories are clearly from early in the inception of Hey Arnold, which is actually really interesting because you get to see sort of like their original conceits for these characters, right? And they're a little bit more straightforward and a little bit more caricature than they would later be when the characters had sort of metastasized and come into their own. That can be a disadvantage in some ways, but it can also be a really big advantage. For instance, I think that these are really good episodes, both of them, for sort of codifying what the show is all about. This episode in particular is a really big Helga episode. And we really get to see the strength of both Helga's performances and the writing around Helga. This has always been true, but especially here, the writers take such great joy in writing lines for Francesca Smith, and she delivers them so capably and so hilariously that there's really a sharpness to this episode in not only like the plot, which is, you know, obviously having a lot of fun with It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Story and the sort of classic tropes that Arnold so often plays in, but also just with Helga herself as a character. And it even sort of delves into her psychology a little bit more deeply than you might expect from such an early episode in some fascinating ways, particularly with her parents. So that'll be interesting to talk about. But yeah, I think that this episode is deceptively straightforward and deceptively sort of introductory. But even in that, it makes a lot of room for some great characterization and for some very funny gags and sharp writing. So on the whole, I really like this episode.
Yeah, very well said. And we'll just pause the normal opening ceremonies because Jason, our super producer, not being here has already thrown me off my rhythm. I forgot to shout out the fine folks who made this episode possible. Maybe filling in the lines as to some of the things that Harry said about this episode. You know, we got some veterans in the hot seats here that helped make those things happen. As nearly always, we've got Jamie Mitchell supervising the direction of this episode. Dan Povenmire, there we go, and Julie Murphy co-directed this episode. I don't always catch these, but I'll try to call them out from here on out and have a better eye for it. Julie Murphy was credited in this episode as Julie Murphy Hashiguchi. So shout outs and writing credits. Actually, this is a really nice thing to come after what Harry just said. So we've got two co-writing credits for this episode. First goes to a first timer in the writer's chair, Glenn David Gold. So shout outs as well. And the other credited co-writer for this episode, Francesca Marie Smith. Go figure. Let's go. It kind of makes sense. Interesting to pair up Francesca Marie Smith with somebody who's new to the formally credited writing seat for the show. But I think enough about that. Emily, what did you take away from this episode now that we've got our credits appropriately taken care of?
Yeah, I think this is a cool episode to see how the writers kind of switched it up with, you know, we've talked about before, it's a lot of Arnold's daydreams and how he imagines things or reimagines the characters in the show and stuff. And this time we see Helga having that daydream. So I was reminded of Olga Comes Home when her sister comes back and Helga has that Salvador Dali type dream that kind of serves as a wake-up call. So this episode, Magic Show, is similar in that way. She's got a wake-up call of sorts to be nicer to the people she's so bossy to. And she even calls out the ways in which she's domineering, cruel, and bossy, and tries to start like apologizing to them. And this upset when they're not listening because there's Yoo-hoos or something that they can buy, soda that's like down Yahoo's. The street. Yeah, there's like a sale on Yahoo's all of a sudden. So they cut her off from her big apology. But yeah, I think it's cool that the writers shook it up in this way, and it's usually all about, or not all about, but we just see Arnold daydreaming a lot, and he's characterized as a dreamer, which Harry and Cody have brought up in multiple pods, and yeah, so I think that's a cool way that this is different than other ones, apart from the Olga Comes Home, so kind of extended on that, and yeah, it's interesting to see Helga trying to make amends more so, too. Like, she makes more of an effort in this one than any other episode, including Olga Comes Home, where she's actually trying to apologize and trying to be a better friend to Phoebe and, you know, coming back to conclude Arnold's magic trick. And I also just think it's kind of funny, too, to see Arnold being a magician, because that's not a hobby we've seen him do. So, like, we know he loves music and dancing. We know he loves baseball, as do most of the kids. But this is our first foray into his magician career. So that's pretty neat, too, and fun to watch.
I mean, honestly, the two of you covered kind of my two big-ish takeaways from this episode and illustrated them probably better. So I guess what I'm doing is sort of just responding to those and you know, piggybacking, I guess. But first being the sort of, you know, Emily, you commenting on how we get a look inside of Helga's head is a really great point. And Harry, you calling this out as a Helga episode. Like, if you're watching the show and, if, you know, God forbid, if you're listening to us yammer about this show, and you're not convinced by now that this is Helga's show, like this series belongs to Helga Pataki, then like, this episode is the evidence for it up to this point. Like, it's the way it's framed, the way that we start the episode with Helga. The show is called Hey Arnold, but we, you know, and we see him become all these different things. We see him become a magician in this episode. We don't really have any idea why. Not that it's necessarily always important, but it's especially not important here because we're sticking with Helga. This is her episode. Like it's been mentioned when we were watching and in our discussion of this so far, something about this episode maybe feels like it was made early on when the showrunners were maybe still trying to make these personalities come through in certain ways. We really lean into Helga being a bully this episode and kind of noting all the ways and to which people she ends up being cruel and exhibiting cruelty. And not that that's necessarily the only time we will ever see that on this show or any other show, but you know, that I understand their thought process of we need to sell people on Helga being a butthead to kind of sell the trajectory of this episode, you know, to kind of sell the arc. And I don't know, I guess there are other ways we kind of, I don't know where this will fit in, but just so it's mentioned this episode and kind of a little bit with the other episode we did last week as well, False Alarm and World Records that we talked through with our friend Dan Nagin. Just something about these episodes feeling like they were made at a previous time. The animation looks a little bit different. I don't know what the restoration of animation is like. I don't know what it takes to make art. So that, like, that's certainly over my head, but I think we all kind of agree that something felt or some things felt a little different about this episode. I don't know to what extent other people felt that, but regardless, whoever wants to hop onto those next, I've said plenty.
Yeah. While we're talking about how these look a little bit like they were made early on, earlier than the other ones we've talked about so far on the pod, just like Arnold himself is drawn a bit differently, I would say, for both of these episodes. So he looks, I was kind of comparing him to some other screenshots I have from the other episodes, and his face is just a little bit rounder. He's more a round football and he's got bigger eyes in general. And then his hair sometimes is less zigzaggy and like sticks out a bit less at a vertical. So he's just a little bit more round and a softer looking face in these two. So yeah, definitely seems like these were earlier, maybe at the drawing board and in production, but then came into play later when they actually aired things.
Yeah, it's weird because I think that the faces are both more emotive than usual, right? I mean, like, I don't know. I think a lot of weird faces in both of these episodes that are not necessarily typical of animation going forward. So again, it's interesting because it's sort of, it can be a disadvantage, but it can also be an advantage. What I was going to say that I sort of stepped out of line to say before was that I really, really liked how both of you characterized this episode as almost a deconstruction or an early construction rather of Helga and her psychology. As we've noted before, right? Like the episode or the show is called Hey Arnold, but Helga is the one saying, "Hey, Arnold," and Arnold is sort of symbolic of her conscience or this part of herself that she wants to keep, as we've talked about on other episodes, right? And I think that this episode does a really great job of showing that and showing how the same emotion that creates Helga's great love for Arnold is also what's driving her her ostensible bullying and her guilt, which is just that, like, Helga is an outsized sensitive person, right? Like she is possessed of a very, very sensitive soul and personality. And that manifests itself in the form of bullying sometimes because as a child, she doesn't know how to reconcile those big feelings inside of herself. I think that this episode, even as it demonstrates that she's a bully with sort of more sharpness than most episodes end up doing because they have to focus on it necessarily, I think it still comes around to demonstrating that, right? And it demonstrates how she feels guilty about missing her dad's birthday. It demonstrates how she has this strange, terrible guilt about how her parents might be better people. They might be happier if she didn't exist, which clearly stems from her abandonment issues toward them since they don't treat her very well and they compare her unfavorably to Olga constantly. So we get to see a little bit of that already, even though, like I said, it feels earlier than the other episodes. It still benefits from that retroactive characterization of Helga. We even get to see how she's deeply afraid that Arnold himself doesn't like her the way that she likes him. And that sort of is one of the many core fears at the heart of Helga's sort of defensiveness and her bullyingness, her bullying. And that's all like really good characterization, right? And it's really important to the show. And so like the fact that they use, or they reappropriate that daydreaming framing device, but they give it to Helga here, like Emily noted, is a really brilliant way to do that, especially because, you know, that is a framing device that we are used to, right? It's something that we already understand in the context of this show. So shifting our perspective on it, and again, using the tropes that it establishes, is a really interesting way to delve into who Helga is in its really cool.
It is really cool, and it is also really cool, Harry, that you use the word deconstructing or deconstructive, whatever tense of that word you use. That, as you said, that something clicked for me, or at least I was taken back to the episode and the specific part of the dream sequence. And honestly, this opens up more questions for me than it does answer them, and it kind of muddies some of the other things that that I said a bit ago. But in Helga's dream sequence, during it, that sort of "Hooray, Helga's gone" parade, there's that animatronic Helga head that's just running down the street yelling "Doi, doi, move it, bucko," which displays like a self-awareness that Helga has about herself, as well as a self-awareness that the show has about itself, that slots weirdly, if we're framing it as like these were maybe episodes that were conceived early on. And I guess not to like talk too much about the next episode that we'll talk about on this podcast, 24 Hours to Live, but that is like one of the earliest, if not the earliest conceived episode. So again, for me, it opens up a lot more questions. It makes for a more, not necessarily more interesting pairing with 24 Hours to Live, but maybe just like I would have said, these two are more like soulfully similar. But there's maybe a sort of divergent energy that this episode has, that Magic Show has, in relation to 24 Hours to Live, which, I don't know, it doesn't quite deconstruct in this way or to this extent, maybe. I don't know.
I have a lot of interesting, well, what I perceive as interesting thoughts about that we can get into in the second half. But you said something just now that really unlocked something about Helga's characterization, both in this episode and in general for me, which is that you mentioned her self-awareness. And I think that that is something that is actually very central to Helga's character in general, right? Is that in the way that this show continually alludes to the idea that girls mature faster than boys, that's something that is happening to Helga. I think that what we're seeing in this show is sort of like Helga reconciling with this burgeoning self-consciousness and self-awareness in terms of who she is and the role that she plays. And we've talked about this before, right? We talked about it in the episode where she is struggling with her femininity, and it's sort of a recurring theme for her. And it's really interesting to think that her frustrations are born of the idea that she is more self-aware and self-conscious of the world and herself and how she is perceived than necessarily any of the other people in her grade are, because she's precocious and she's a genius, basically, right? Is that she all of a sudden has to deal with this, the trials and tribulations of being perceived, that really none of her peers are dealing with yet, simply because they're too young to really fully understand that. And I think that even the end of this episode alludes to that, right? Where she's trying to apologize to all of them, and they move forward from that, not because they don't care, but just because they didn't even realize that she was like that, right? Like there's some sense of like persona permanence that she possesses that they just don't. It's just like, oh yeah, I guess Helga's mean sometimes, but like we're moving on. Whereas Helga's like, I am a bully, right? She's starting to internalize these things about herself in a way that arguably these other characters can't yet. And so I think that that fundamental difference of maturity is going to recur over and over again. And I even think that, not to get again too, you know what about it, but like, that is what she's saying Hey Arnold about, right? Is that Hey Arnold is this daydreamer who hasn't really fully like awoken to personhood yet, and she has, and there's sort of like this fundamental imbalance between the two of them where she's just a little bit more aware than he is, and he's only sort of getting there. And I think that's a really fascinating aspect of this show, and particularly the way it talks about childhood and coming of age, that is really unique and really poignant.
Oh my goodness, Harry, that is an amazing read on this, even just the title of the show. Holy shit, that's, you said that so well. Yeah, so I'm just thinking through like the fact that Helga daydreams up like the alternate universe, better version of herself as Gloria, who we see being like, oh, so too nice, like too goody two shoes, right, and giving everyone, I wrote in my notes, giving everyone kisses, which I meant to write cookies. She gives everyone cookies. But yeah, just like, I don't, it's interesting that Helga is so self-aware, as you're mentioning, to the point of dreaming up what would be like a better version of her that everyone would like more, and who isn't a bully and who's so nice to a fault, and generous and everything. So yeah, wow, Harry, that was amazing.
Well, and what's really interesting about what you just said too is there's a gendered component to it, right? And that like works into the self-awareness that we're alluding to, is that Helga is not only sort of afraid that she's a bully, she's also afraid that she's not like girly enough, right? And that's something that's going to keep happening to her over and over again. And the show has a really redemptive, really uplifting and feminist take on that ultimately. But I think it's really good that it demonstrates that struggle and how unfortunately sociologically intertwined that struggle is with any sort of coming to self-determination for girls, right? Like that is necessarily a part of who Helga is trying to reconcile with and struggling with her femininity.
Yeah, totally. Like Gloria, the replacement, is more traditionally feminine and everything, even in just the way she's drawn up, but in such a similar style as how Helga is drawn too. It's just like a more feminized version. Yeah, that's, yeah, definitely great points there. Cody, what did you think about this Gloria replacement lady?
Oh, I mean, I thought you two said it well. I was gonna kick it out for any shout outs or any I guess specifically you know, the way the Gloria, in the way that Helga had like a lot of great sound bites from this episode. Gloria was not like, obviously hers weren't as complex, but the recurring bit of Gloria having like a catchphrase, even one as silly as cookies, anyone, really kind of tickled me. But yeah, I guess, I don't know. Sorry, I'll open up the floor again. I've kind of run out of gas. The one shout out I will give is when Helga screamed, "What in the name of creation is going on here?" Which feels like a more grown up exclamation than it does if you like squint at it. But like a kid version of like a you know, "What in tarnation?" or "What in the Sam Hill?" It's like, "What in the name of creation is going on here?" Very, very well done, I think.
Oh man, in general, I think something that you'll notice as you keep watching this show is that Helga will often reappropriate language that she learned from especially her dad, but both her mom and dad, which is just such another brilliant way of demonstrating her precociousness and her intelligence. Is just like, she's just this 9-year-old girl who is adopting the vocabulary that she learns from her parents, because that is exactly what smart 9-year-olds do, right? So it's just like, it's so picture perfect. Helga is like one of the best characters in fiction, I think. I wanted to give one shout out to Phoebe real quick, because this is also a great Phoebe episode. We get to see Helga mistreat Phoebe, and then we get to see her feel bad about how she's mistreated Phoebe. And in the process, we get to see Phoebe's house for the first time in Helga's imagination. And Phoebe's a great character, and it's great to see her in this. And even if it smarts to see her hurt by Helga, like, it was funny, right? Like when we were watching it, and she apologizes to her family, or like tries to make amends to them, I was like, they don't deserve you, Helga. But then she does the same thing to Phoebe, and I'm like, oh well, she actually does deserve that. That's good. It's good that you did that, Helga.
For sure. Yeah, I wanted to shout out Arnold's magician name, the great Arnoldini. I would definitely watch one of his magic shows, though I don't particularly care about magic shows, I guess. And then the fact that Sid yelled at Harold and was like, what do you mean you paid for it? It's free, you bonehead, to go to the show at the beginning was really funny. Sid has some really funny lines throughout the series, I think. I do think it was cool, the daydream sequence with the Arctic search party involved and Arnold being arrested because he made Helga disappear forever. So quite the daydream sequence we had there.
Very agreed. And as we pull ourselves out of dreamland, one final shout out. It's a Wonderful Life was mentioned, but great movie. And this episode definitely took a lot from that movie. So watch it. James Stewart was famously very Republican, but he's a pretty good actor and a fun person to do impressions of. With all that said, I have no transition from that. I'll say to those listening, thank you so much for being here with us. But also don't touch that dial because we'll be right back with our discussion on the second half of episode 18 of Hey Arnold. So don't go anywhere, Clarence! 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 Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got something of a special episode up next in episode 18B, which is an episode we like to call 24 Hours to Live. Original air date December 9th, 1996. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. In this remake of the original pilot, Arnold accidentally knocks Harold out during a baseball game, and the bully gives Arnold 24 hours to live before he beats him to a pulp. Doing this in the correct order this time, rightfully so, this is very important. So since this was, I'm editorializing right now, since this was feasibly one of the first storylines for Hey Arnold ever published, we've got a lot of heavy hitters in the writing and directing chairs for this episode. Writing credits, we've got the show developers, basically. We've got Craig Bartlett, we've got Steve Vixton, we've got Joanne Salaber, and directing, not only do we have Jamie Mitchell supervising the direction, not only do we have Larry Leaklighter back in the fold, a veteran of the show, but we've also got, in his directing debut, Craig Bartlett. Big Craig Barty Barts indeed. I'm wilding right now. That's wow, that was so exciting to see on the page. Shout outs all around for a great episode, a great pilot once upon a time. I'll start with you, Emily. What did you think of 24 Hours to Live?
Yeah, so we're just mentioning how this is like a remake of the pilot, basically, and I'm looking at the wiki on it. The original comic was called Arnold Narrowly Avoids a Thrashing. So I think that's a great way to characterize this episode that they retitled 24 Hours to Live. Yeah, this is a fantastic episode. I think this one is especially memorable. Like, I remember very specific sequences of it, especially Arnold's song at the end, the I'm Crazy song, and performance to go along with the song. My goodness. But I just like remember all of that very distinctly from watching it as a youngster in elementary school. And I think in that way too, that it makes sense that this would be like the pilot beginning, blueprint for the show. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun to watch. We see Arnold more so characterized as the dreamer type in this one, whereas Helga was the dreamer in the A episode that we just talked about. But Arnold is usually the dreamer, and here we see him, you know, figuring out how he's going to get out of this fight with Harold alive. And yeah, we see Gerald being an awesome best friend, and in general, just like the dream sequence, I think is like a stellar moment of this particular episode.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All of this episode, and maybe especially the dream sequence, are pretty iconic for this series, so it's great that we got to that and got to see that again together. Harry, what takes do you have about this episode?
Yeah, I mean, we had talked about how this is an interesting one to pair with Magic Show. I think that really brings it out, right? This is an a really interesting episode to me because it sort of is the, in my mind, it codifies what was a season one characterization of Arnold himself that kind of disappears after a certain point. I mean, maybe I'll be proven wrong as we go forward, but in my mind, the whole idea of Hey Arnold being sort of, or Arnold himself being characterized as fundamentally this daydreamer whose head is in the clouds, and sort of like lives in fantasy, was something that was established very firmly early on, where most episodes start in the midst of a daydream and then zoom into reality the way that this one does, and then kind of abandoned in favor of this idea of Arnold more being like the moral compass of PS-118 and being this person who always tries to do the right thing. Both of those had always coexisted, right? But I think that one was much heavier than it ended up being. So this is sort of a, it's an interesting episode in the sense that like it sort of creates this thematic conclusion out of this characterization that in my mind is not necessarily the one that the show ends up carrying forward. Unlike Magic Show, right, where it comes to a conclusion about Helga's characterization that in my mind is very consistent, right? But that being said, it is a great episode. I really like Arnold as this daydreamer, sort of like head in the clouds kid. And I really like that the show ultimately concludes that like he can use that creativity and that that sort of lack of focus to his advantage to sort of overcome the existential threats that are facing him as he comes of age, symbolized by Harold and the beating and everything. And that he doesn't have to fundamentally change who he is to get through that, right? I think that's kind of the ultimate over-under of this episode, and I think that's a really good point. It's also a stealth great Helga episode, right? Because again, it delves into her sensitivity and her fears of perception, because she at first tries to defend Arnold from Harold, and all the kids go like, ooh, as in like, oh, if you're defending him that way, you must like him. And then for the rest of the episode, she has to overcompensate in order to try to overcome that perception that she's so afraid of. And that's why she is constantly calling Arnold and telling him exactly how much time he has left to live, which is such a funny bit, and such an iconic bit that's so memorable. So it's a really good episode in that it characterizes everyone very firmly. It even has time to characterize Grandma and Grandpa really well. But the central characterization itself is arguably one that doesn't really hold up ultimately across the whole show. So that's kind of an interesting element of it as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Getting kind of into the things that both of you said, yeah, this episode as sort of a once upon a series blueprint is kind of fascinating. The two that stood out to me as far as like how this episode, you know, imagining if this were the canonical quote unquote pilot for the series, you know, it positions Arnold in a slightly different way, and it positions Harold as someone who we're just like a titch more fearful of. Like, he's still somebody we can laugh at and kind of laugh with during this episode, but I mean, even the fact that the Wikipedia summary defers to him, or rather defaults to him as referring to him as the bully, is like a different pivot than I think this show would claim otherwise about Harold. And I guess, you know, it does go in some different directions. I think we've all kind of poked at it a little bit so far about, you know, the feel of this episode is different. I can rather at this point only imagine that maybe Craig and the showrunners having this episode be first was something they ended up wanting to shy away from because of the way in which, you know, Arnold, we would have started the series off with Arnold having that, amazing daydreaming sequence. And then throughout the episode, it's, you know, we're on a timeline, which is its own sort of trapping, but we're also trapped within this city, and Arnold feels that in his mind as well. And there are other sort of episodes where we talked about the ways in which Arnold feels limited, you know, within his mental capacity, or like within, like there's like a breach within his bedroom, you know, these two areas, two of, you know, different, of many, multitude of areas in this city that are sort of meant to be safe havens. And, you know, having this as the first episode and seeing, you know, Arnold's daydreaming space be taken away from us temporarily as he's fearing for his life, you know, in a kid's sense, is, you know, a subtly different energy that, again, I imagine they wouldn't have wanted. You know, instead we get the, you know, some of the opening episodes like Downtown is Fruits. It positions the city, you know, they're kind of where everybody is, as a place where folks can explore different areas. And there's something of safety in that exploration. You know, that kind of gets usurped, and we play with that dynamic a little bit, but it's the want and need to go forth out of our bedrooms, out of our heads for a little bit, and then feeling that safety to come back into our heads eventually. And again, I'll just go back to like subtly different energy, I guess is the phrase that I'm landing on. And, you know, I'm glad this episode exists so that we can see that, because it's a different sort of flavor of episode that feels good around episode 18, you know. So I'm as with everybody else here, this is a very memorable episode. This is an episode I quite like. It gets to it still gets to a lot of the key players: Arnold, Gerald, Helga, Grandpa, and Grandma. They're not perfect characterizations, but at this point, you know, we mostly just kind of want to see their faces and hear them say things. Whether or not they really play, you know, remains to be seen. I know we all had some thoughts about Grandma, but I've already taken too long, so I will toss the mic. Harry, can you catch this?
Oh, got it. That was kind of a good toss.
Nice. Highlight.
So, yeah. Hey, never worry about going on too long, because you always got great stuff to say. For instance, I really like how you said that Harold himself is also he's sort of a prototype characterization in this, because Harold is also sort of vaguely a bully, but as time goes on, he's leveraged for a lot of different purposes. That's sort of in keeping with the whole show's whole philosophy, right? Like, almost no one is just a bully. They're all like people with their own sort of multifaceted personalities. But it is interesting to see that. Likewise, this show plays a little bit hard with Grandma and her sort of like spiritual non-conventional wisdom. It plays with Grandpa's really well characterized lack of ability to help despite being old, and Arnold sort of having to reinterpret his words to suit a meaning, which is really funny and really appropriate. But yeah, I think that like ultimately, I think it's interesting, right? I really liked what you said also about the fact that this is an episode that maybe is not a great fit for a pilot. I think it's weirdly sharp for an episode of Hey Arnold, right? Like there are some very real and very hateful things that go on here. Like, it's a very anxious episode. Arnold is afraid of being beat up, which feels very real and very scary. And that anxiety, although it's played for laughs, it really is evident throughout this episode. Likewise, the early bullying that Harold perpetrates against Arnold and Helga, it is real and pointed in a way that often Hey Arnold isn't, right? Like at one point, Harold like calls Arnold's grandma a wacko or a kook or something, and it's like, whoa, like that it feels a little too real. And at one point he disparages Helga's femininity in a way that feels very real. And Helga is fat phobic towards him. And so like the whole episode, like I wouldn't say the energy's wrong, right? Because ultimately Hey Arnold, the show is all about overcoming adversity and fear and, the sort of existential threats of childhood. But I can understand why this might've been rejected as a pilot episode, right? Because it's like, you know, we kind of need a little bit of softening so that people can understand who Helga really is and who Harold really is and who Arnold really is before we do something like this that gets a little bit real. I mean, like, this isn't quite a very special episode territory, right? But it has that framework almost, you know, where it's like, I can see kids who have actually been in like schoolyard fights or like bullying situations, like really like being affected by this episode, which is a good thing, right? Because it's a good thing that the show can speak to real issues that are facing kids. But I definitely also understand how like maybe this is one that you want to shy away from as like an early episode.
Yeah, despite Arnold's rounder facial features in this one, it's like a lot of harder edges around all of the characters especially in this episode. And I was thinking about how we were talking about Helga's self-awareness, especially with the A episode here. And I think that carries over into this one in just in a different way, because she's like really has to double down on the fact that she sets the fight up for them, because she accidentally, right, comes between Arnold and Harold to begin with when they're playing baseball. Arnold whacks him with the ball. There's stars and stuff animated as Harold gets knocked over. And Helga like accidentally is like, wait, no, don't hurt my beloved, kind of, without saying that outright. Right. So then she has to like double down and be like, well, no, just kidding. Like, beat him up tomorrow. Like, put this off tomorrow. And then I'm going to go stalk Arnold and remind him that, yeah, he's going to die tomorrow. You only have so many hours to live. And she sets up like the radio DJ message, which I think also is a good example of this. Cause like he says, yeah, Arnold, who's waking up from his dream sequence. Arnold, you got 2 hours left before you die, and this message is from Helga, who hates you. So it's like, really, she just goes all in on that bullying trope of him because she realizes she has that moment of like vulnerability with him in between Harold and Arnold. But yeah, otherwise, I think your points are really good about how each of the characters here is just more of a caricature of themselves. And we have some hateful moments too, especially with Harold and mocking Helga and Arnold, and says some pretty brutal stuff to them, for sure. What were you going to say, Harry?
Yeah, I really like the way that you brought self-awareness back into this, not only because you can definitely see it with Helga, but also this episode functions almost accidentally. Again, we don't know, right? But I tend to think that there's a reason why episodes are put together this way. But like, we get to see both how first Helga and then Arnold respectively reflect on and learn from their experiences and how they process these things. And Helga does it very literally, right? And that's because of where she is as a person, which Emily, you had noted, is a product of both her abuse and sort of her precociousness and her intelligence and her maturity. But when she has one of these daydream reflections, it's very clear what the takeaway is, right? She has the full on A Christmas Story, It's a Wonderful Life experience. Whereas with Arnold, his daydream is a lot more abstract, right? Like, he is King Kong and he's running from all the kids. And then it turns out he's crazy. And the craziness is not a characterization that is really a sticking point in the way it is, ends up being for Helga, or the way what Helga learns ends up being characterization of her. But that's almost kind of appropriate, right? It's interesting because it's like, it doesn't really matter if Arnold's quote unquote craziness ends up being a linchpin of his character, because his character is still sort of gestating in a way that Helga's isn't, right? Like, he's still coming of age and trying to understand himself. And I really like the idea that like the way that this show visually represents that is by giving Arnold this much more abstract and fantasized means of processing when compared to Helga, and how he has to solve his problems, therefore, is in a different sort of offbeat, creative, and arguably less, you know, less straightforward or less mature way than Helga does, right? Like, at the end of Helga's episode, she amends her ways directly because she understood what she had to do, and she tries to apologize to everyone only to be frustrated. Whereas Arnold ends up sort of embracing this offbeat, silly idea of himself to overcome that problem. And they both end up being the right approaches, right? Which is kind of, again, the overall idea of the show is like, you don't have to change who you are fundamentally. Like, you can still be this person. But it is really interesting to see the way that juxtaposition really tells you a lot about both of these characters and where they're at this point in the show.
Oh, totally. And I think one additional or kind of spin-off way to look at that final sequence with Arnold doing the, you know, I'm crazy dance, especially with this being one of the early, to use Harry's term, gestating sort of episodes, and Arnold is still gestating, being gestated as a character. on some level, and I think one of us, it might have been me, brought it up in our last episode as well, just the ways in which this show chooses to lean into the fact that it's a cartoon, and there's like a definite chance that like that number at the end was something that on some level was being workshopped for like, okay, how does the show feel with this in it? How does it feel when our title character, this calm, cool, collected moral compass, leans into these sort of cartoony antics? And like we commented even before that sequence took place, I mean, every character in this show, the heavy hitters, people like Arnold, Harold, Helga, even within those first couple minutes there, the way they're drawn is very emotive. We see their faces contort in ways that we don't really see them I don't want to say ever again, but not as often, or at least not in ways that are 100% consistent with the way maybe the show has felt up to this point, as far as, you know, the order in which we've been covering it. It kind of adds to the discussion of the look and feel of this, and, you know, what fed into this episode and maybe what came out of it. But I don't know, it's something maybe.
Yeah, for this final song, this I'm Crazy song, I was looking up who performed it. So it's definitely sounds like an R&B song and even the performance that Arnold does with dancing around and flipping around the boombox he brings to the fight. It feels really like it's out of the Blues Brothers. And I feel like this show references the Blues Brothers in other episodes that I haven't even brought up. But in the field trip episode, Arnold and Grandma are driving to go get Lockjaw, and that whole sequence is kind of like their Blues Brothers on the run to commit this cool whatever vendetta they have against so-and-so and to save the turtle. But for this one, yeah, I just feel like it's a Blues Brothers nod a bit. It sounds like a James Brown or like Stevie Wonder song at the end. It's performed by the R&B singer Gavin Christopher, who it looks like has passed away, so may he rest in peace. I think it's such a great performance, and though it is a little out of character for Arnold, we haven't seen him act in this way before. It's a lot of fun to watch, and I just think especially memorable for the episode.
Yeah, really great point. And it's interesting, right? Because it both is and isn't out of character for Arnold. Like, Cody said, it's like it's something that he is adopting or something that he's trying. And that's sort of a very important point that this episode is making, is that like growing up is sort of all about that experimentation. But it's sort of a remixing, no pun intended, right? But a remixing of elements of Arnold's personality that we know and that are characteristic, right? Like, we know he's creative. We know he's a big daydreamer. We know that he's a big music guy and a big anachronistic music guy, right? Like, kind of one of the big characterizations of Arnold is that he loves jazz and he loves R&B, and he's like, he's got that great sound system. And so like the boombox is sort of symbolic of that element of who he is. And he's sort of like thinking through this and thinking like, how can I take these pieces of myself and do something with them that can solve this problem for me? And what he ends up doing is this very funny dance, right? And so I don't know. I feel like even though the dance is definitely kind of out of character, because like, again, Arnold doesn't really end up being this kooky, crazy sort of offbeat daydreaming character in the end, it still works for the episode itself, right? I think, and I think a big part of why it works is because, like you said, that song is so good and so funny.
Yeah, I mean, it cannot be understated how critical that musical performance was to like the episode and to my and probably each of our memories about the show. I don't know. I will cherish it forever, for what it's worth. And I have no way to segue into my last strand of a thought, and then we can jump into whatever anybody else wants to comment on. I felt it might be important. This doesn't really land with me. It might land with either one or both of you. But one other nugget presented to me from the Hey Arnold Wikipedia page was this episode, season one, episode 18B. Hey Arnold was shown as a VHS short and later as a DVD short before the 1996 Nickelodeon movie Harriet the Spy.
Oh my God.
If that takes anybody back, there's that. Again, I didn't really grow up watching Harriet the Spy. Maybe you did. If you're listening, maybe you did. And that would be really cool. I don't know, hear from you about that. I can't believe I'm doing social media plugs on this right now, so I'm going to stop talking. But yeah, I don't know. Any other thoughts you two have about this episode?
Well, first of all, I did grow up watching Harriet the Spy with Michelle Trachtenberg.
Nice.
So yes, that is a big deal. Michelle Trachtenberg bore a resemblance to my sister at one point, and so we sort of had a lot of fondness for her around the Casa de Mackin. So that's interesting. Shout outs wise, there's an iconic grandpa line in this, which is, he says, "In my 80 years, I've only learned one thing." And Arnold says, "What?" And he says, "Never eat raspberries. Gotta go."
Yes.
And he jumps into the bathroom, the continued gastrointestinal adventures of grandpa. Love to see a shout out for that.
Yeah, the representation is crucial. Again, we're talking about things we remember from this series. Grandpa having half of his screen time take place behind a bathroom door is just how I picture him. Yeah, good stuff. Emily, you got anything as far as shout-outs?
Yeah, shout-out to Grandma, of course, because she's, again, trying to kill a fly in the hallway, and she's got her full safari outfit on, which we saw in a previous episode. But yeah, as she's taking down the voicemail the message for Arnold, that Helga's leaving on the phone, she's like just nodding and going along with it. And she's like, "Oh, what's that?" And she mishears what, Helga is saying. And she's like, "What's it? Fry? No, die. Yep. Okay. I'll let him know. He's going to die." So that's a really good characterization of Grandma, and really funny to me. And then I wanted to shout out the fact that Gerald pulls together a will for Arnold to give him stuff in case Arnold dies, so that Gerald wants to get from Arnold his CD player, rollerblades, and hockey stick. So he's really thinking ahead there. But also, as y'all pointed out in the watch party, he really is a ride or die friend. So he has like the foresight to think ahead in case Arnold does die and he wants his cool stuff from his apartment. But what a fantastic friend.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments of this episode is when the day finally arrives, they're playing this bad, like hard rock soundtrack as everybody walks up. And when Arnold leaves his house, Gerald is just like waiting there with like his war face on, right? Like he's got this angry look. And then they both walk out together without a word, right? Like Gerald just turns as Arnold moves down, and then they just go off, and it's like, look at those boys. Like, they're like the warriors in that scene.
Yeah.
Yes.
The warriors. Wow. Chalk up another reference for the Stoop Kids crew. But with that, I would say our 24 hours are up, unfortunately. So we'll take this time to say thank you once again for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. That's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis. Jason, we missed you today. As you can probably tell, I am all sorts of in need of calibration, so it'll be great to have you back in the figurative booth. For those listening, you can find Jason on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narvison. You can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
Cody, I think you did a great job. I would even call you a super producer. I've been Harry. You can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
Thanks, y'all. I'm Emily. You can find me on Instagram at EmilySui.
Once again, shouting out our listeners, if you made it this far and you enjoyed your experience, we appreciate you so, so much. If you made it this far and you felt like it was a waste, just remember, this is a podcast. It's free, you bonehead.